From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, this is The Treatment.
Shake it, don't break it. Welcome to The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. We last left our guest, Joel McHale. He was here a couple of years ago in the midst of season two of Community, which he stars in, which is on NBC. And he also is the host of The Soup, which runs almost every week on E! And he's back as we head for the denouement of Community, probably the only show ever on TV which with an Oscar-winning screenwriter as part of its cast.
Yeah. So, suck it, other shows.
I guess, is that translating in the ratings? Did you see a big uptick after the Oscars?
It actually, ratings? That when Jim Rash, the incredible Jim Rash, won the Oscar for Descendants, Best Adapted Screenplay, with his partner, Nat Faxon, who, by the way, they are now in pre-production on the movie they're directing.
I heard about
called
that,
The Way Back. Or is it called The Way Way Back? I think it's called The Way Way Back. And Steve Carell is starring in it. They're directing it, and they wrote it. Look at that. Yeah, when Jim stuck his leg out.
That was a real Dean Pelton moment.
That got more press within the show than if they had spent millions of dollars, because it was just, that was the thing from the Oscars. So thank you, Jim. That shows the brilliance of Jim Rash.
Well, let me ask you.
Wait till you see him in the finale, how he's dressed.
Which will be airing the day after this show runs. And
see?
And the recent episode where he was half.
He was half man, half woman. Divided right down the center.
And had a real problem to work with, which is, I have to go to the bank after this. Why did I put this outfit on?
Yeah.
Which he plays, by the way, like a real problem and not like it's like a joke.
What was I thinking? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Jeffrey. He's really, it's too bad because he's so talented. He's so good at his role. Such a great writer and such a jerk.
Well, good thing.
You hear that, Jim?
Well, let's hope he's listening. Let me ask you, though.
He's the nicest guy I know.
Well, let's talk
he
about
is nicer him. Than my children. That's how nice he is.
Well, we know your kids don't listen to public radio, clearly, if you're going to say that.
That's true. If you played the Star Wars, like the Imperial March a lot, they totally tune in.
Are they into Star Wars?
No, what makes you say that? Yes, they love the Star Wars.
It's The Treatment, which you can also hear, or not hear, on KCRW.com. We're talking to the father of two, Joel McHale. It's interesting because you host a show on E! That's a show that comments on everything.
Yeah.
And you're also starring in a show that comments on everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
meta versus meta. I mean, it must be kind of interesting to go, because I always wonder how you act in something, because the timeline of Community is so strange. And this, the last season, I mean, Jeff has become more and more vulnerable and emasculated kind of
yes,
show.
Yes, definitely. I think it's all, because if we get a fourth season, hopefully by the time this airs, we will have been picked up for a fourth season. But yeah, I think I think it sets up a lot of stuff probably for his father returning next year, possibly. And I love playing a character that is slowly being emasculated like this, because it's so fun to work against, because it goes against everything he wants. Because he's so cocky, he's so arrogant. And he's so sure of himself and all those things. Who would have thought that at community college, all those things would be torn down are being torn down?
Well, if you just see the chart where he's gone from the first season, where he's still kind of in control. Also, sort of the two people who kind of represented normalcy on the show, Jeff and Britta, are now, Britta's literally seems to be the craziest person on the show.
Right. There's a line in the last episode after the wake where I just look at her and I go, when we first met, I thought you were smarter than me. It was a great line. Dan wrote a great line for that. That was just a perfect, because she was called me on everything, and she was just.
And she says that she's putting on starburns.
Yeah.
Literally putting starburns on her face.
Which are sideburns shaped as stars for our character that was killed last week, because the portable meth lab that he had in his trunk, he got rear-ended and exploded.
But off camera in the one of the funniest episodes of TV I've seen, because it was such a strict sort of lovingly rendered version of Law and Order that you couldn't even call it parody.
No, they even wanted to end the episode by saying created by Dick Wolf, but we could not get that clearance.
Really?
So we just said created by Dan Harmon.
It ends with special thanks to Dick Wolf.
Yes, special thanks, yes. So yeah, that was when we do these parodies, people are like, oh, you're doing a skit. And it's like, no, we're accomplishing, the characters accomplish something during these parodies. They're used as a way to amplify the stakes of what's happening. In this case, it was boiled yams.
It's The Treatment. My guest is Joel McHale, who stars in Community on NBC and The Soup on E! You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. I wanted to ask you about moving back and forth, because you're doing something that is commenting on what's going on around it, but you also have to give a performance in it. And that Law and Order episode is a perfect example of that, because you're kind of doing Sam Waterston, but you got to play it the way Jeff Winger would be living it and not just put quotes around it.
It's a weird thing to do while you're doing it, and I don't. At the time, I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to do a Sam Waterston impression. So I was like, I'll just play Jeff, but kind of make him really serious about everything.
Did you ask yourself, because we should say that your character is a disbarred lawyer who had faked his way through into getting a degree at a law firm.
My character had lied through most of his life.
And so now he's back to community college.
And he's in a courtroom. Not a courtroom, because like when... Michael K. Williams says, may I remind you, this is not a courtroom. I loved it.
And a few weeks before on the show, there'd just been a Ken Burns parody.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, again, is played not like, as you said, not like it's a sketch or a joke thing, but it's a part of the continuum of the lives of the people in the show.
And it amplifies whatever the stakes of what happened were. Well, obviously, if you said, well, we had a blanket fort, people would go, right. And we had a war. I'm like, okay. But if you make it a Ken Burns documentary, that makes the stakes huge. And, some people loved it, and people are like, what was that? And I was like, you don't watch enough PBS, my friend.
You must get that a lot on the show from people, because it breaks form so often that people must say to you, what was that last night?
I think it just depends on what it is, because if you didn't like the one the night before, next week, don't worry, we have one that you're going to love. So it does break the form a lot, but now that has become the form is that the show just kind of boldly does what it does, and without the characters being grounded and who they are, and especially Abed, who kind of is the jumping off point for a lot of the pop culture references and parodies. Without those things, it would just, I think people misinterpret it because it's not a sketch show at all. I mean, character development, character stuff happens during those parodies.
And we can say in the most recent episode where you're all sitting in with the therapist, it feels like...
Played by the amazing John Hodgman.
That could actually have happened that you, when he started to sort of describe the characters and archetypes, you a disbarred lawyer, a pill addict, you lost your scholarship, broken marriage. Yeah, those are people who could have had a group delusion like they were in a community college.
Totally.
It's basically your Lost episode.
Yeah, when we started reading it, there was a side of me that was kind of like, this very well could be it and not a trick. This could be where we're going. That was a really fun episode to shoot, and John Hodgman played it perfectly. It was great.
Because it seems like a show that's doing something kind of distinctive in that the episodes feel like standalones, but they really demand that you know the characters.
Yeah.
Which has got to be tough for you when you're trying to bring people into the show and explain to them what it is, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, but there's that side of me that's kind of like, well, there's a certain amount of, you can't always go, we hope we get new viewers this week. We hope we get new viewers. There's a side that is like, well, you just have to boldly go ahead and do what you're doing. And if just jump on, my thing is like, jump on board. It's going to be fun. Don't worry about it. I think because of the characters, if you pay attention to the show, you're going to end up enjoying the characters. And no matter where you enter it, it is going to be, it's going to be okay.
But, I mean, making those kind of demands in the context of what is community comedy, situation comedy, which is kind of unusual, to really say you've got to know who these people are because, I mean, in kind of a broad sense, if you know PBS and you're watching the parody of the show of Civil War, then it's funny. But when the last line of the show, when Jeff says to Keith David, weren't you on the Cape, which is not only a reference to the Cape, but a callback to the previous season.
Right. I see things like that where there's a certain level of pop culture knowledge that I think that people have. Some don't, and then that would be totally lost on them and maybe think they're referring to Cape Cod. But there's a certain level of kind of understanding of pop culture. So if you didn't get that, then that's too bad. So I think a lot did. And the other thing, much like something like Mystery Science Theater, where there is 100 jokes thrown at you. You may only get 70% of them, but don't worry, there's another one coming that you're going to get if you didn't get that last one. So there's a lot flying at you.
And you even do that on The Soup, but let's just say The Soup is on E! And Mystery Science Theater was on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. You're on what used to be called a network. And I would think they want the show to be a bit more broad-based. I mean, do you guys hear from them at all about this?
They haven't said, you have to do this way or this, because I think now we have this very loyal group of fans. And when we came back after being on hiatus and we beat American Idol in a demographic, which, believe me, I still can't believe, we only did that one week. We didn't do it the next week. But even though the show is very specific and makes a lot of jokes that I like the model of Mystery Science Theater because I was like, if I didn't get it, the next joke's going to be good. So I think that said, the network and networks have to kind of, and they are allowing us to be more creative. And it did get a great group of people to watch the show, the people that seemingly that they want, which are young people who spend money.
But, you know, even though you're right, these shows are established and they're a little bit outside the norm of what sitcoms are, they don't so often depart from what they are. In fact, you know, Community did an Office-like episode, a documentary-like episode last season.
Right.
And there have been all kinds of things thrown into the mix to sort of say to people, this show is going to demand your attention the way the sitcoms generally do not.
You know, I guess, but I think that isn't, no. I mean, I think that's an insult to sitcoms, Elvis, because because watching Seinfeld or Cheers, they're shows you have to pay. Those weren't shows I would have on in the background. Those shows, to me, demanded my attention. MASH demanded my attention. So, I mean, that's how I...
But again, those were shows that once they established that form, didn't deviate from the form. And in fact, the shows we're all talking about, MASH and Seinfeld, were shows that were not hits initially that found audiences after a while.
Yeah.
Because they were pretty much devoted to being outside of the box in that way.
Right.
You guys go out of the box in different ways.
Right.
Literally every other episode.
Yes. So that would be the norm for us. But if you notice what's happening with the characters, that's not changing. Their stories are still, you know, like week to week are, you know, like those are different. One step is leading to the next step. The characters aren't all over the map as far as what they're doing. They're still doing their thing, and just the things around them are crazy. So that being said,
yes.
With networks being with the way they are, with ratings all going down, I know the networks are now aware of this, and so are the rating systems, and they're adjusting, or they're starting to adjust, or they're trying to adjust. Even though not as many, I mean, people just don't watch television on time the way they used to, but they're still watching. Other than sporting events and some reality shows, event reality shows where people do tune in all at once, now people get their shows in 1,000 different ways. And so even though the tune in, the people that go, I mean, people that show up, say, and now the show's on, I'm sitting down and watching it. Those days are gone. But I think there's more people watching TV now and more people are seeing the episodes. It's just not measured. They can't measure it as well yet. That's my, dear God, that's what I'm hoping for.
With that, we'll take a break.
We're not taking a
break. My guest is Joel McHale. I'll give more questions to Dodge when you come back. It's the truth.
I didn't dodge anything.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
This podcast is produced by KCRW, a nonprofit public radio station based in Los Angeles. We rely on listeners like you. Support the podcasts you love by becoming a member. Go to kcrw.com/join.
Welcome back to The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. I'm sitting here with a return guest, Joel McHale, the star of Community on NBC. I was asking you before a little bit about just trying to work as an actor in this. When you're trying to play characters, they're in these things that are, in effect, not part of the real world of the show.
Yeah.
But you still got to be in character. It seems to present a specific kind of challenge.
For me, it's just figuring out what the stakes are. So if you're in the Law and Order episode, the stakes are very high that we're going to flunk out of the school. Or flunk out of the class, or something like the paintball episodes where the school is being taken over and we have to defend it. So, yes, it is fantastical, but the stakes for the characters become high stakes, just like in real life if something was happening. So that's how I approach it.
Is this what makes you want the show to have another season, because it changes so much, it keeps you interested? I mean, I would imagine if you were doing a more standard sitcom, this would be the point in which you might start to get bored a little bit going to a fourth season.
Boy, well, I've not ever been on a standard sitcom, and so I'm not sure. But, you know, it's one of those things where you can't just go like, oh, yeah, we're coming back. You can't do that, because nothing is ever sure in this business until you actually hear it. That all said, I think Dan would probably want, you know, at least, I mean, I'm good for three more seasons if you need me, or four more. I think they would want another season to kind of, you know, end things if we were told we're like, well, this is one more and that's it, guys.
What I've got to ask you about, too, is just what the machinery it takes to go from these two things, which, again, are both in their ways very meta and commenting on things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you sort of structured The Soup, it almost demands that you watch the previous episode anyway.
Of The Soup?
Yeah.
Well, I get, yes, no, well, maybe there's standalone. I mean, there's running jokes.
Yeah.
That
there are lots
yeah.
of callbacks in the show.
There's a lot of callbacks, but I feel like there's enough standalone jokes that if you never have seen the show before, then, and you don't speak English. No, but if you've never seen the show before, you're gonna get a hopefully get a Kardashian joke, because they seem to be famous enough at this point. And if you see a clip from Hillbilly Handfishing, it doesn't matter what we said about the week before. It's Hillbilly Handfishing. You're still gonna. It's gonna be okay.
Because the reason it shouldn't be called Talk Soup anymore is because it doesn't really use talk.
We do. You know, we'll have
as much as they used to.
No, not even close. Yeah. No. When we were at the early stages in 2004, because they brought me into those creative meetings to kind of decide what it would be about, and because it was just going to be, at first it was just reality, and then it was, oh, we should have pop culture, we should open up to everything, and the ultimate decision was, well, let's just make it open to everything, and we'll see how it kind of goes. So the first part of the show is a lot of kind of topical pop culture jokes, kind of late night monologue jokes, and then it gets into the reality shows, and then we also do scripted shows, and we do the sci-fi movies that are all shot in Romania. And so it is open to everything, which gives us, you know, great leeway.
Well, it's interesting, too, because there's certainly been no small amount of controversy, because you've had Keith Olbermann on the show a few times in the past,
yeah.
And had done his show, and he's sort of spun out of control, or had trouble, we should say, forgive my imprecision. And there's a Chevy Chase imbroglio.
Yeah, those voicemails have been a great, just comfortable thing. Yeah, it's good.
But for those who may not know what we're talking about, offer them a précis of...
Oh, well, let's see. Some messages that were left by Chevy on Dan's...
It co-stars with you on Community.
Yes, and Chevy Chase is on Community, and he happened to be one of the biggest stars of the 80s. He was the biggest comedy star of the 80s, literally. And then Dan Harmon is the creator of Community, and some voice messages were... left on his phone, and some of those got out, and so it's been good. I much like the Kardashians, all press is good. Yeah, it seems to be all done now, and everything's all better, and they've made up. So hopefully it kept us in the news. That'll get us our four season pickup. Good times. Yeah, not uncomfortable.
That was worth it just to hear you stammer. It's The Treatment, I guess, is
yeah.
Joel McHale, the star of Community on NBC, and The Soup.
And The Soup.
Got that, Ron E. You can also hear the show at kcrw.com. I guess, though, because of what these shows ask of you, you find time to do movie work, and you've got film stuff coming out later in the year, don't you?
Yeah, in July, I think, this movie called Ted, written and directed by the great and very cool and very nice and very funny Seth MacFarlane. Yes, it's about a teddy bear that comes to life for Mark Wahlberg's teddy bear and his really unattractive girlfriend, Mila Kunis. Oh, wait a minute. She's the opposite. She's very attractive.
And what are you playing?
Giovanna Ribisi's in it as well. I play her boss, who is not a nice man. And I am trying to steal Mila Kunis away from Mark Wahlberg. Because this bear comes to life for this little boy, and it seems like this fairy tale. But then it cuts to 30 years later, and the bear has totally ruined his life. And she's dating him, and she can't really understand why he's still so connected to this bear. And my character's like, come on, you stop being with the teddy bear guy. It's time to be with me. So it was really fun to shoot and to work with those guys. And it was a dream come true.
Because you're doing so many different kinds of things. It just feels to me that, especially with The Soup, at some point you want to find something you wanted to write and direct for yourself.
Well, you know, The Soup is a very easy hang. It's basically when Community is in full swing, I go to Community at around 6 in the morning, put my Community makeup on, go to The Soup. That takes about 2 to 3 hours once it's all said and done. Then I drive back to Community. So it's a very easy hang as far as time. But right now, you know, my focus is to you know, hopefully get Community going, hopefully get that four-season Community and make sure The Soup doesn't suck. Oh, and more importantly, seeing my children. Much more importantly.
There we go.
My
4 and 7-year-old
boys.
There we go. We don't want this to turn into the end of Manhattan, where Woody Allen refuses to mention his son. He goes on the greatest things of all time.
Right.
But it just seems that because of the kind of control you have over The Soup, and because of the way it seems that you've really gotten to another sort of level in terms of your acting stuff, because just watching the show now as compared to watching it earlier, where it did feel more like it was even being played in broader ways, Community, than it is now. Mm. I mean, the gestures have become smaller. It's become a much more intimate show than it had been
in the past. I had not thought about that.
It just makes me feel like at some point you got to be ready to take this on to something else. But do you feel what I'm saying about that intimacy? I mean, it's not a show that's really kind of declaiming itself anymore in the way that it did in the first season.
Hmm. You know, I had not thought about that till you asked me that. Or, see, you're a very thoughtful man, Elvis. I think it is one of those things where, most shows that the characters, I think especially comedies, they'll take a little bit of time to grow and germinate and become who they are. So I think that has gotten to there, and I think people are very comfortable now with their characters. So I think that's part of it. And yeah, with, you know, the jokes are so well written, you don't have to do much to get them to work usually. Well, that's a strange brag, but I had not even thought about that. I had not thought that, wow, we've
changed
so much.
Because, you know, what made me think about this watching the most recent episode where you and Donald Glover and your characters think that they're on the trampoline. And I just thought back to what that episode was. It just made me sort of think about how the acting has gotten smaller and the writer's gotten smaller, and just because the show has become much more focused than it had been in the first year.
Well, I would say wait till you see tomorrow night, because the school has been taken over by an army of 13-year-old boys that recruited from a bar mitzvah.
Let's go over that again, because that's...
So as far as getting smaller and quieter, I don't know if that's necessarily...
It's weird, though. Even those things included, it has gotten much smaller. I mean, there's sort of bigger moments, but it's not sort of like saying this is a... You're really taking advantage of the fact that it's on film, mm-hmm. and not trying to pretend that it's something else.
Oh, I think that's also a comfortability factor, probably.
How do you mean?
Meaning that, you know, people now, I think people, you know, now, or at least myself, you know, now we've done it for 3 years, I'm much more used to it than I was. And also, I think Jeff changed, too. Jeff has changed.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying at the beginning. He really has become, he can't, even though...
He can't do his same thing that he's been doing. People know it now. And he cares about the group much more than he used to. I mean, he's always saying, like, this is just a stop, and then I'm out. But he actually cares for these people. And that's a whole new world for him, which has changed him somewhat.
I mean, just briefly before we go, I mean, there was one episode...
I'm not leaving.
Apparently I'm not either, but there's one episode this season that struck me as being remarkable in a lot of ways, and it was one that was more or less kind of a more conventional episode until you went to the anime section of it, which is the foosball episode.
Yes.
Which is not only about this discomfort that Jeff has over not having a father, but also about Shirley's discomfort about this person she used to be, which we can sort of read into as a reason she's now a Christian.
Right.
And also one of the strangest things, and I thought the funniest things, basically seeing what Batman might be like in real life if he really couldn't do this stuff.
Right.
When Abed thinks he's Batman and tries to break into the neighbor's apartment.
Yeah.
It was that level of commitment, but that show seemed to be kind of, to me, like sort of like a microcosm of what the show's been this season, which is about all kinds of awkwardness and trying to move on to the next stage.
You're absolutely right. The origin stories for both of them were painted right there, is that Jeff's insecurity and her, you know, feeling great shame over what she had done to him. And it really informed my character and her character and climaxed at the craziest Japanese anime foosball you've ever seen on network television. Yeah, I mean, that I think you are right. I mean, it took apart our characters and put them back together again. I mean, I got tweets saying that they cried at the end of the episode. And I was like, eh, see, that's comedy for you. And nailed it. And so, that Abed story is incredible. I mean, Danny Pudi is a genius. He has created one of the most original characters in television history. Same thing with Jim Rash, is that they have created these characters that have never existed before. I mean, the only thing I could compare Danny Pudi to is like Spock or like Data, where it's just like they see the world differently. But not even that, because they're not, I mean, it's not science fiction.
A real person.
He's a real person. And playing an Arab kid, Muslim, who speaks Polish.
Because that's in real life.
That's real life. So Dan put that in, and who may or may not has some disorder where he can only relate to the world through pop culture, and has serious social issues. And as we found out in the Law and Order episode, cannot really tell time.
That was pretty wonderful.
And he's like, I have other strengths. It was so great. Well, and he just had twins. So he was, if you look at all these episodes that happened, that guy is operating on very little sleep. And he got like 3.5 days off for the birth of his children.
Oh,
and then he
gosh.
Was back at work for like 16 hours
so you
in
guys,
a dreamatorium.
So I guess,
Danny was, talk about burning a candle at every end that was imaginable. Yeah, so.
Well, I told you when you were here last time, I think it's one of the most impressive shows on TV, and thanks
God
so much for coming back.
You. It's your favorite show, right?
Sure, why not? It's my favorite show. I'll say anything once.
Wow.
We're out of time. Thanks so much for coming back, Joel.
Such a liar. Elvis, thank you for having me.
You're welcome to come back anytime.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
I won't be here, but have a good time.
Well,
my guest
be?
Is the star of Community on NBC and The Soup on E!, Joel McHale. Again, thanks for coming back.
Elvis, thank you.
Recording engineer who
you look terrific.
Joel doesn't like is Mario Diaz here at KCRW.
It's not that I don't like him. He just challenged to a scar off.
Yeah, and then I've never
been challenged to compare scars.
This show is mixed by JC Swadek. It's edited by producer Jenny Radelet. I'm Elvis Mitchell. Streets ahead.
Ah, nice.
It's The Treatment.
Find past episodes of The Treatment at kcrw.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Listen to The Treatment on demand on your smartphone with KCRW's apps. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.